So my name is Nancy Chow. I'm a professor at the Charles H. Dyson School of Applied Economics and Management in the Cornell S.C. Johnson College of Business. I'm an economist who studies globalization and its impact on inequality and individual well-being. I think in economics is very much a mantra, right? That the opening of markets and the liberalization of exchange is a good thing. So imagine two people coming together, a buyer and a seller, let's say, and they want to engage in some kind of a business transaction. No coercion involved, the whole thing is voluntary. It's only natural to think that whatever happens thereafter is mutually beneficial. And so supposing there are benefits from globalization, how exactly are they distributed? Right? Does it matter who you are, what power you hold, and does it matter what you do? And so over time, these concerns have taken me to a range of questions, going from those that are more technical in nature, such as index numbers and measures of market openness, to more recently, right, studies concerning the spatial and social determinants of local employment, and to a list of typically considered as non-trade concerns that are nonetheless fundamentally important in international trade agreements such as sweatshops and labels. So now I'd like to talk a little bit about a paper that recently came out in the Journal of Development Economics, in which my co-authors and I tried to shed light on a growing phenomenon in labor markets. It has to do with contract employment. So just to get a mental picture, think temporary jobs, fixed-term work, the gig economy, and the subcontracting of work. I mean, each of these things are a little bit different, but I think they share one common theme, and that is that production is divided into tasks, and that these tasks are then subcontracted to workers with often very different contract terms. Some of these are stable, open-ended and formal with regular pay. Others are fixed-term and temporary. And at times, the hiring of these workers itself is also a subcontracted phenomenon. So labor economists often call these job options as alternative employment opportunities, that in recent years, this alternative is becoming mainstream. And that in some countries, over 50% of the workforce is involved in temporary and fixed-term employment, particularly in developing countries. And so in the context of this big picture, then the paper uses novel establishment-level data in India to demonstrate two things. First, across all manufacturing industries, the intensity of contract employment has grown from about 19% to close to 40% in the last 20 years. Furthermore, contract employment comes with a wage penalty of about 20%. So in this paper, what we try to do is to build a theory of this two-tiered labor market, and we test the theory. I would say the main insight that we learn is that if contract work is just work, and that is that it does not lead to any learning opportunities, it does not help, in fact, sometimes hamper the ability of a worker to gain a full-time job post-temporary employment opportunities, or that they fail to learn business-specific skills, or that they fail, they simply do not gain a higher likelihood of getting a regular job, then greater world demand for goods made in India would simply end up encouraging more employers, who are, after all, cost minimizers, to hire increasingly more contract workers at a wage penalty. So these results, of course, have important policy implications. Oftentimes, we think about labor market policies, we think about more jobs. The lesson here is that a single-minded focus on more jobs is just half of the story. An equally important perspective is what types of jobs are generated, particularly if these are low-paid, unstable jobs. Secondly, this analysis also suggests a policy dimension that is seldom addressed. How many temporary workers is enough temporary workers, considering the morale consequences of this differential treatment?